Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, April 12th. From Capitol Coverage, a bill to help workers in Colorado's coal industry find other jobs has cleared its first hurdle at the state capitol. Democratic House Speaker Casey Becker says the state needs to use cleaner sources of energy, but also says there needs to be financial support for workers who might lose their jobs during the transition. The bill would create a government office to help coal workers with grants and training by 2025. Democrats on the House Business Affairs and Labor Committee advanced the bill despite concerns from their Republican colleagues and some advocates of the coal industry. A bill that aims to save some Coloradans money on their health insurance is gaining traction at the state capitol.
The legislation promotes what are known as insurance cooperatives. They're groups of residents and businesses that band together to negotiate directly with hospitals and care providers for better rates. Democratic Representative Dylan Roberts of Avon says it's one of several proposals in the works that should bring down costs on the Western Slope.
It's not the silver bullet to solving the healthcare issues in our state, but it's one that I think we can all be proud of because it sends the power back to our local communities and allows them to craft what works best for them.
The bill has already passed the Senate with bipartisan support. It's now heading to the House floor for consideration. I'm Scott Franz at the state capitol.
Time is running out for public comments on a federal proposal to lift pollution controls on certain smaller streams and bodies of water in Colorado. Eric Gladys has more.
The EPA says Clean Water Act protection should no longer apply to small streams and pools that are seasonal, intermittent, or not connected on the surface to a larger body of water. Suzanne O'Neill with the Colorado Wildlife Federation says removing protections for many wetlands and streams, whether they flow year-round or after rain or snowfall, would be a real problem in semi-arid Colorado.
Because protecting our watersheds is the beginning to ensure that clean, fresh water is available for drinking water, for our fish, for our farms, and our communities.
People have until Monday to share their views online at regulations.gov about the proposed changes to the Waters of the United States rule, also known as WOTUS. The EPA has argued that lifting the regulations would provide more certainty for farmers, ranchers, and land developers. Jan Goldman Carter with the National Wildlife Federation says the new rule could remove protections for as much as half of wetland acres and many streams. She believes that undermines the Clean Water Act altogether and represents a rejection of the underlying science for these areas.
This administration made a decision to ignore the basic eighth grade science that water flows downhill, and if you don't control pollutants upstream in a watershed, you will have a lot of pollution downstream.
Farming is currently the single largest source of pollution in U.S. waterways. Nitrogen and phosphorus pollution from farmland can cause algae to grow faster than ecosystems can handle. Die-off of algae blooms cuts off oxygen for fish, and blue-green algae can produce toxins harmful to people and animals. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And finally today, police departments and the media don't always agree on what kind of information should be made public. KVNF's Scott Franz has more on two bills that could have big implications for the press, the public, and the police.
In Mitchell Byers' job, the police scanner is just as important as a laptop computer is for the rest of us.
Lion Fire Respond, Ute Highway, North Foothills, Ute, and North Foot, just west of there on a tree on fire at 1336.
Lion Fire, acknowledging town.
Byers is the breaking news reporter at the Boulder Daily Camera.
Much of my job every day is just answering people who want to know why there are three cop cars in front of their neighbor's house, or why they're seeing smoke, and is that a fire, is that a controlled burn? And a lot of those questions we're able to answer because of the scanner.
It was especially important, he says, when deadly flooding hit the Front Range in 2013. Byers and his editor, Matt Sebastian, listened to it all night.
They're learning where roads were being closed, where people were being evacuated from.
Sebastian says the scanner is more important than ever. 20 years ago, he says he could directly interview police detectives, but times have changed.
Departments more and more have used public information officers, limited access to information through certain points, which has made it harder for us to report in a quick and timely fashion.
And now, the scanner itself is being threatened. Almost 30 police departments around the state have encrypted their radio traffic, making it harder for journalists and the public to listen in.
Usually when they've upgraded their equipment, they realize they can encrypt all of their channels, and they just go silent.
That's Jeff Roberts. He heads up the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition.
Some have worked out deals with news organizations to either give them encrypted radios or allow them to buy them. Others have not done that. And so there are police agencies that you just can't listen in at all anymore.
The issue has also caught the attention of state lawmakers, including Republican Kevin Van Winkle. He sponsored a bill that would have limited the encryption.
We don't want to increase distrust of police officers, nor should our press and the public depend solely upon Twitter to find out what's going on.
Van Winkle thinks police departments should only be able to block tactical channels, like the ones used by SWAT teams. But the police fought back.
The police radio is not a public communications tool.
Mark Smith is the deputy chief of police in Colorado Springs. He says the city is in the process of making all of its radio traffic private.
The last thing our officers should be worrying about in a dangerous, rapidly evolving situation is whether the suspect knows exactly what we are doing.
The House Local Government Committee sided with Smith and defeated the bill on a 6-5 vote. Matt Sebastian was disappointed by the decision.
Police are public servants. What they do is in the public interest, clearly.
Meanwhile, transparency advocates like Jeff Roberts at the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition are cheering the passage of House Bill 1119. It requires police departments to make the results of their internal investigations public.
It's going to be harder for an agency to have an officer accused of some sort of wrongdoing and then not let the public know really what the facts of the case are.
Right now, the city of Denver is the only one to regularly release the information.
These are always balancing acts. So we obviously come down on the side of more transparency is better, and we hope that most people kind of see why that's important and might also support that general idea. But when it comes down to sort of the details of whatever proposal it is, it's not always that easy, and it's not always easy to make that argument that opening things up will automatically be better for everyone. And in this case, you had law enforcement agencies who saw it differently.
State lawmakers are also getting behind another bill that encourages local governments to post notices of their public meetings online. And Roberts is already thinking ahead to the next legislative session and focusing on the accessibility of court records. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, April 12th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.